So, I've been walking through some things. I always get on here and say I'm walking through some things, but really walk through some things. Like I've been for the past week, excuse me, I had to move this bag out of the way. Past week I've been having a heavy heart. And not I kept like searching like within myself, like God, what am I troubled about? Nothing's wrong in my life, you know. Persecution here and there is normal. You know, it happens hit from time to time. What's bothering me? And as I begin to really get quiet and search my spirit, I begin to realize I was feeling other people's hurt or pending judgment. And I was really like, wow, like, this is the level of compassion for people that is a different level for me. It's new. Usually, like, if you do me harm or do me wrong, I'm just like, I'm done with you. I'm cut you off to any other. But in this situation, I have not been able to just take that approach, which is kind of annoying because, you know, those walls, you know, sometimes we believe are our protective place. But God gave me that revelation, which I posted on our social media. Be careful when you build walls to keep people out because you inadvertently create the cell that locks you in. So I don't like to not practice what I preach. So then I begin dismantling these walls. And as I begin to do so, the feelings and things that I've kind of tried to avoid came flooding in, and I realized, wow, in building walls, you almost make yourself unhuman. Bringing down those walls, I begin to immediately feel all these kind of things that I had kept locked out for so long. Part of our walk in Christ is to forgive, it's to love. It's to embrace people that we deem unembraceable, if that's a word. So when I begin to seek God for a heart for people that I feel like I've probably tried to do the most for and then should be closest to, beginning to sense in myself a coldness where they were no longer a part of, even in my heart, my life. Like, and God began to make me feel outside of the anger it takes to do that, the feelings that you actually feel. See, to make a decision to not feel for somebody you love, you have to make yourself not feel. And the danger of making yourself not feel is the scope of that shot isn't always aimed directly at the person that is antagonizing you, but it has a scope. It has a blast radius that affects more than the person that's bringing you grief. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sherry said no. I'm going to speak then. You know what a blast radius is? If you throw a bomb in the middle of the room, it doesn't just explode the room, it explodes stuff all around and outside the room, and there's a radius and there's collateral damage. There are people that will be affected by that explosion that you may not have it intended to be affected, but you can't contain the explosion to that one area. It affects more. And then if it makes the whole building come down, then you got people all, it's a radius involved, right? So here's my point. When you make the decision to go cold, there's a radius, there's a blast radius. You can't say, I'm going to single my coldness toward this person because that effect of you turning cold, other people around you feel that. Other people, you have to, anything that looks like or feels like or slightly resembles that person or that situation, your heart turns toward. Does that make sense? So then it's okay, well, what's the alternative? Well, The alternative is God, and that's what I want to walk you through today. The alternative is God. I'm going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 6. And I want to take one of Jesus's sermons, and I want to walk you through what I'm walking through, which is what I normally do. And hopefully it makes a difference for you and in your life. So, starting at the 20th verse, it says, "And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said," so this is Jesus now having a conversation with his inner circle. Now, you know, Jesus would go out and he would talk to the multitudes and he would heal and he would do these things. But this is one of those days where he's sitting around with those who work closest with him. And he said, "Blessed be the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are those of you who weep, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil." I want you to listen to these. "For the Son of Man's sake." So let me stop there for a second. We're going to come back on 23. So blessed are you are blessed when these things are happening. I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think I'm blessed when men curse me and mock me for doing what I believe is what God is calling me to do. Can somebody bear witness with that other than me? You've been mocked and you've been reviled and you've been talked bad about and you've been put down for doing what you believe God has called you to do. Who's the taker with? You understand that, right? People, you know, they're judging your intent, and that ain't God, and they all of a sudden become, you know, God's judgment for you as well, and they're gonna speak in the voice of God. And even when you just think you're doing that which is right, you prayed about it, you believe you're following God, and the kickback you get is unkind. Let's keep going. "Rejoice you in that day and leap for joy." Wow. Lord, sometimes you lay out some really, 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 really weird requests. You really do. You're telling me right now to rejoice when that happens, leap for joy. Wow. All right, you're gonna have to help me out with that. But here we go. Let's do it. "Rejoice in that day, leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did they do to your father, did their fathers do unto the prophets." Now, before I go into these woes, he's saying when people revile you or come against you because you're doing what you believe is what God has called you to do, instead of being discouraged and trying to figure out how do you change your pronouns and go along with the schemes and say what they want to say to not be canceled and do all the things that you think they want you to do to be accepted, he said that's a time you should rejoice because you're in good company. You have aligned yourself with the prophets of old and the men of God that God has called you to be like and to walk with. Now, this is very important because he's making a statement here. He's saying, listen, it's not popular to do that which is right. And in the eyes of most people, it's not honorable. Jesus chewed them out at one point. He said, you're hypocrites, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. He said, you killed the prophets, and now you make these monuments to them and say what great men they are. Let's talk about that a little bit before we read on. Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, Gandhi, who else? Just name a couple of people that you consider great men and women. I just named the black ones, but you know, there are others, right? That we can name, right? I'm naming some of the people of color, the Malcolm X, the whoever else, right? I need you to understand that when they were here, they were not loved. They had a group that loved them, but overall, they were reviled. They were hated. I remember the hatred Ali received because he changed his name. Hatred from both sides, not just white people. The House Negroes was in full effect. It was on. I noticed that after these people's death or passing, all of a sudden there's this fine, beautiful memory of who these people are. But these people who honor these prophets now and that Jesus is talking about, these are the people whose forefathers put them to death. So what he's saying is you're in good company when people don't accept you for standing for what you know to be true. Doesn't sound like fun, but it's an instruction. And at this season, I'm learning the power of embracing that instruction. And I'm going to explain it to you further as we finish reading. Verse 24, he says, but woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when men speak well of you, for they did, so did their fathers to the false prophets. He's not talking about people, just people that are rich and people that are successful and people that are happy. He's talking about people that are happy in the world condition and in the world's way and have found acceptance into the world's system and the world's way, and they have reaped wealth and success in the world system and the world's way. He's talking about the people who have learned how to be successful and profitable. And I'm gonna talk about this real quick. I won't stay long on this, but Nellie and I were watching some documentaries, and you know, I like watching them. And she was watching a couple of people, and one of them we watched was Ali. We watched Eddie Murphy. It's a couple of them, their stories and the ups and downs that go with them. And we got to talking about these people and how young a lot of these people that died. You know, these people who gave their whole life to this success, to being that shining bright star that came out here and took the world by storm. White and black, whatever industry they're in, and how they're then later gone. And, you know, people have made comments over time, you know, the star burned so bright that they extinguished quickly. And it was like, how much are you willing to give up to reach that goal? And how many people in that place kind of have this hunch or sense that they won't be around long? And it started to really trouble me and bother me because I'm like, that's not the promise of God. So that's the promise of success, no matter how you need to get it. How much of yourself are you willing to give away to be that successful? Watching the Ali documentary, now that I'm old and I can look back, I was a kid at the time, And you can see him slipping into this Parkinson's from being hit so many times. They were saying to him, and he was saying almost after every fight, all the way back to George Foreman, "This is it. I'm done. I'm getting slow." You're starting to see a speech slur, but they keep putting him in the ring, and they keep putting him in the ring, and he keeps getting in the ring, and they keep putting him in the ring. And I remember his last fight in Kwame is a fight person, so he would understand this. His last fight was Larry Holmes, who, by the way, happens to live not too far from me over here. I run into him in the store from time to time. And Larry Holmes was much younger than him. He trained him, and Larry Holmes had beat on him so bad, but he kept saying to him through the fight, like, "Go down, go down." And at the end of the fight, when they interviewed him about him finally beating Ali, he just broke down and started crying because he didn't like having to beat on his hero like that. When I thought about his them saying he's old and him losing his ability, I think he was in his late 30s. Am I correct, Kwame? He wasn't in 40s and 50s when he began to really lose his ability. It was in his late 30s, right? They're saying he's old, his time is up. I'm like, he's in his 30s. Back then, when I would hear that I was a kid, I was like, okay, yeah, well, then he's old. But now that I'm looking back and I'm 65 going, the man was in his 30s. What a price to pay. He's the greatest. He received the title. I begin to go, okay, God, there's a success to have that doesn't come with that price. There's a place for me to arrive that doesn't come with that price. I'll make one more story, then I'll go back to the scripture. Chappelle. He said his dad told him, "Set your price. If it gets too big, get out." They offered him 50 million, and he saw the stipulation or the role that came with that acceptance. And he said, "I'm out. I'm not taking the deal on these terms." He made a choice of how much he was willing to lose or to give up. Listen to me close. To have the world's success. So when Jesus is saying they're rich now, they'll be poor later, they're laughing now, they'll be weeping later, he's not talking about every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. He's talking about those who choose success, wealth, whatever you call, at the expense of all else. And a lot of people do it even in the name of Jesus. They will choose that success and that wealth and that winning above all of God and be willing to pay whatever price comes with it. Some of us call it selling our soul for wealth. Maybe a believer, but the methods we're taking are earthly methods. Am I going somewhere? Yes, I am. Stay with me. Now, verse 27, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you." Now, I've heard that scripture over and over and over again in the context of almost a isolated scripture. "Bless those that curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you." But reading it in context, it comes to something. It starts with those of you who are suffering now, you'll be rejoicing later. And those of you who seem to be being kept out now for my sake and mistreated will be blessed. Then he talks about the plight of those who are doing what they want to do without him. And they seem to be winning now, but in the end, they will lose. And then he goes into, so bless those who curse you and pray for those who despitefully use you. So now it just added balance, and I want to bring it home. Ready? Bless those who curse you are not people that are cursing you for doing what they do. These are people who are cursing you for doing what God has told you to do. If people curse you because you're an a-hole just like them and you're doing exactly what they're doing, you're running in the same rat race as them, and they curse you, you don't qualify for this. This is different, because what he's doing is he's just distinguishing the right hand from the left. What he's doing is he's distinguishing those who are mine and those who are not. What he's doing right now is he's distinguishing those who are serving me regardless of the course versus those who conveniently serve me or don't serve me at all. He is breaking down the difference, and he's saying, if you choose to serve me, this is how the treatment may look. But the outcome, because of serving me, here's the price. And those of you who choose to do it your way, do it your way, but do understand the outcome or the end result of that is lack or nothing. So what I've experienced in my life is looking back at people that were in the industry, when I was in the industry, and they looked like they were so successful, and I wanted to be them so bad. And you've seen the pictures, most of you have seen the pictures with me and Diddy, and me and Will Smith, and me and all these people, and I knew these people, and I got pictures to prove it, right? And then I'm looking at them shoot up the sky, and my heart is broke because I don't have what they have, but I'm not willing to get it that way. And so I'm watching it. And now when I'm watching him on the news and what's going on and the people raiding the house and all this kind of stuff, people are rejoicing and clapping. And my heart hurts because I met him. I knew him. I used to hang out with him. This is not, you know, I'm not making this up. Maybe we'll in the thing post a picture of him and I together so people would know, right? These are people that I looked at and I respect it. And then I see that at the end of all of it, is it worth it for me to have that to end up right here? It's not. So he says, love your enemies. Well, I'm experiencing some enemy type stuff. I won't just directly call the people my enemies. I don't even want to speak that over them. See how my heart is changing? But they're very enemy acting, okay? They're very enemy-esque. We'll just put it like this. Their behavior is very enemy-like, right? And I understand now, listen to me close, why it says bless those who curse you. Because he just told you their end. He just showed you their outcome. He just said they're laughing now and they'll be crying later. They'll have wealth now, but they'll wind up with nothing. They'll do all of these things, but the end result of it is going to be zero. Pray for them that curse you and despitefully use you, because the outcome is never in their favor. It's always in yours. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't want you blessed. It doesn't mean he doesn't want you prosperous. It doesn't mean any of that. But it means you walk alone on this road a lot of times. You're going to have a very small band of soldiers that walk with you, and you're going to walk this road. And a lot of times the general public is not going to embrace who you are and where you come from with this attitude or this position. I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to serve God anyway. The light shines in the dark, and the dark comprehends it not. People don't embrace your light that way. So why is he telling me now, and why am I feeling all of a sudden this sadness or heaviness or compassion for those who've done me wrong or those who are trying to do me wrong? And it's like, because God's saying, because the outcome is clear to you now. I just showed you. They may think they're winning, but in the end, they're losing, and they're going to lose in a way that they need your empathy and sympathy. Why me? I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. He said it. and he I didn't write the verse down. He said, but those whose sins you retain shall be retained, and those whose you forgive will be forgiven. He's putting the onus on me to redeem them from their hurt against me. So they may be laughing now, but they're going to weep later. And do I rejoice when they weep? When people, no, you understand what I'm saying? So there's a breakdown of this. So it gives me a levity, and it gives me an ability to have compassion and love, even though my emotions and hearts don't, my heart may not align up with it or align with it, but my inner man can say, I see the depth of the outcome of this. And for that reason, I can be compassionate. And for that reason, I can show compassion. And for that reason, I can see the severity of what they're doing, or he or she or whatever, and what the outcome would be. And this doesn't have to be people that's directly in front of you. This could be people somewhere off to the side. But whoever and whatever they are, the outcome is the same. Do I have compassion, or do I say, yeah, you're going to get yours now? And that's what God is showing me. I need you, my son, to say, my heart goes out to them. I pray for them. I don't have to do it publicly, but before God, I can pray for mercy. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. I'm understanding it better now. It's for their sake, but it's also for my spiritual sake, because I don't want the poison of what they do to affect me, and I don't want the poison of their judgment to make me rejoice. Because if the poison of their judgment makes me rejoice, then I have more in alignment with Satan than I want to, because he rejoices at the fall of God's kids. We should not be. That should not be. We should weep for them. We should mourn for them. And so in this season and time, I'm realizing what I'm feeling in my heart and the pain I'm feeling in my heart is I already see the outcome. And I've said, God, you said you would judge them, and I know you will, but can you judge them according to your love and kindness and tender mercy? Because I don't want to be a party to anybody's misery, even in the realm of the spirit. I know I'm speaking some deep stuff today, but I'm speaking from the core of my heart, my spirit. I want to be a beacon of light. And I want to be in a place that when people do realize their shortcoming and their sin, and they come to me, I can have the heart of God and compassion and not be so. I don't want to wind up like Jonah, where he wanted them to fall so bad that he wouldn't even go to them and pray. He wouldn't even go to them and give them a word. Go to Nineveh and tell them this. No, I want them to be judged. I don't want that spirit. And I don't want that spirit for you. So I'd rather wake up some mornings feeling sad and troubled in my heart, because I feel the pain of what they may have caused, but I feel more so the pain of the consequence of what they've caused. And that for me is a place that's not comfortable. But he said, but if I mourn now, I will have joy later. And not joy when they get what they got coming to. No. But joy when they come to the place of repentance and God can restore them. And maybe even restore us. And then we can laugh together in the devil's face and say, but you lost. And that's the key that I'm learning in this season. Do with it what you will. But my heart, I was talking to Shanti last night, and she said to me, your heart is really soft. I didn't even talk to her about any of this. We were just talking about life. And she said, wow. She said, Nelly, she said, Nelly, that's really softened your heart. I say, no, the character of God around her has influenced me. And God, only God can soften my heart and soften me. But the correlation of who you have around you definitely plays a role in it. And so hats off to my Nelly for that. But it's God, because I had to say yes to that softening. I had to say, I receive it. I had to say, Lord, take me there. I had to say it. And I'll end it where I started it. And in letting down that wall, when that wall starts to come down, you start to feel more vulnerable. But in the process of feeling more vulnerable, you feel more protected. Because he said, well, those who are weak, it is then that I am strong, where strength is perfected in my weakness. So when I no longer have the ability to ward off the pain in my own flesh, which doesn't really work anyway, and I allow myself to be open to the flow of God, I'm finding myself being strengthened in my inner man, more encouraged, more powerful, more definite, that the enemy shall not prevail over me and over those God gives me to pray for. I hope that blessed you. I hope that encouraged you. Bless those who curse you, because there's a blessing in it for you. Pray for those who despitefully use you, because there's a blessing in it for you. I pray that these words reach you well. In Jesus' name. Amen.